and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Hi, this is Shitlord Fuckerman.
Tell a DJ Chris Hayes got your favorite song.
Had a dream, then I made a wish. Made a plan, then I flipped the script. Never changed, then I never switch. Stuck on my dogs for this life that we living in. We work too hard now. I know exactly what I wanna do. Said I would flex just cause I wanted to. They know exactly what I'm gonna do. No Millie Rockers, I make money move now. Been on my grind, got me a new state of mind. I'm only stating these facts. This for the city, this for the ones fucking with me. I put them both on my back. I hit up Chris, tell him to cook up the beat. And then I just murdered the track. Give all the glory to God, would you look at that? I think that he giving it back with
lessons on my life, yeah. Woke up with these blessings on my life, yeah. I've been working each and every night, working day and night, yeah. Just to get these blessings on my life, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, right now, ay. Yeah, yeah, right now, ay. Yeah, yeah, right now, ay.
I just stack it, stack it, then I spit it with my niggas. Spend it all today, cause when you die, can't take it with ya. Make it all right back tomorrow, that's a perfect picture. Handle all my dinners, then got a little richer, yeah. Don't ride the wave on the pilot, yeah. That's just me being honest, yeah. On a whack rapper diet, yeah. Swear to God, you should try it, yeah. Got a few chains, but that don't make me no slave. John Wall the wizard with clippers, if you try catch this fade. Cause God,
down, slow it down, let me chill, let me chill.
Let me
blessings on my life, yeah.
I pray and pray that we did it right.
Woke up with these blessings on my life, yeah.
I pray and pray that we did it right.
I've been working each and every night, working day and night, yeah.
I pray and pray that we did it right.
Just to get these blessings on my life, yeah.
I pray and pray.
Good morning. You tuned in with Issa Aaron here on CITR's radio station here at 101.9. If you haven't listened to the show before, this is Off the Beaten Path. We do this every Thursday from 7 to 8 a.m. here broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here from UBC's campus. And if you never listened to the show before, welcome. You're in for a treat, whether you are getting ready for work, whether you're taking a shower, you are fixing your breakfast, maybe you're dropping your kids to camp. I thank you for tuning in with me. If you've never listened to the show before, we here like to talk about some local news here in BC, like some national news here in Canada, some stories you might be interested in globally. By globally, a lot of times we mean down south, or sometimes we do like to talk about things all over. Sometimes we have some guests on here, some interviews. Usually when I'm gone, like next week, we'll be playing an interview, a new interview that you haven't heard yet. And sometimes we just have some really smart people I just happen to have be blessed with really, really smart friends. And so they like to join us here and talk a little about either what they're experts about or something that they feel very passionately about. It's important that we bring like the realness to the listeners, and we thank you for tuning in. This week we have a full show for you today. We always have a full show, but today is like a packed show. It is surprisingly difficult to fit everything that you'd like to talk about in the week into one day. I mean, into 1 hour. Sometimes it feels like an hour would be hard to fill up talking by yourself. And, you know, I'm not talking by myself. I'm talking to you. But listen, you know, I'm here in the studio by myself. The one thing about the summertime that's different than the wintertime, if you are a longtime listener, is that it's not dark here. The sun rises at like 4:30 here, so it's like bright. It feels like it's the middle of the day. It feels like there should be other people in here as opposed to the wintertime wherein it's just myself. But I like it anyways. Let's just jump right in. If you are familiar with the show, you know we like to start off with the weather. One, it gets people just some context for what the Lower Mainland looks like. And weather plays a big part here. We're going to be talking a little bit about how the weather has changed and what the effects that has had on us. However, in the short term, from today, July 5th, July 6th, 7th, 8th, it's supposed to be cloudy with a chance of rain tomorrow and Saturday, Sunday, and through Monday, it's be partially cloudy. There's like a lot of things going on this weekend. There's Castellano Fest. There is the Indian Summer Festival down. It's like all over if you wanted to check it out. It's from today, well, started yesterday and until the 15th. There is Slum Village playing tonight. If you hadn't heard, they're playing at Fortune Sound Club. So if you like Slum Village, they'll also be accompanied by DJ Cut Corners and Nick Wisdom. But this weekend, in the rain, hopefully it won't be raining too bad because it is Castellano Fest. And if you do not know what that is, it's a street festival on West 4th that goes pretty much from Burrard all the way to, I think, past Arbutus. I'm not sure. I think McDonald's. I think it's all over. But there's lots of stuff going on this weekend because the weather typically is very nice. And after Sunday and Monday, when it's partially cloudy, it will be sunny, literally from July 10th, be 22 degrees and sunny all the way until July 19th, which is when the 10-day forecast stops. So I won't be able to see the future. But one thing I find helpful, if you are interested in the future weather, you should check out the Almanac. And because why? I never believed that you probably could tell weather from a book. But for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's because they've been using it for hundreds of years. But the Almanac is always, always very correct. Unfortunately, like I said earlier, I will not be here next Thursday. So that will be Thursday the 12th. I'll be enjoying the sunny East Coast of the country, Canada, where I'll be in Toronto and Montreal for work. There will be an episode to be played, though, and you won't be. I promise you, you tune in and you will still get some great new music, and you will also hear a great new interview. Let's just jump right into the news this week. So if you tuned in last week, you would have heard us talk a little bit about some of the talk a little bit about the the hikers that had been reported missing last week. And they found the bodies over this past week. And they were identified as these three travel bloggers that have been pretty famous here in BC, but not just here in BC, all over the world. I think last year we talked about these same individuals who were reportedly banned from some national parks in the United States because they jumped the fence and went too close to the geyser. They had been banned from Yellowstone and Death Valley and Mesa Verde Utah's Corona Arch because they were taking pictures too close to it and putting the natural park at risk of damage. And so what they found out was happened. So in Squamish, they were at Shannon Falls, and one of the individuals proceeded to and I don't know if you've ever climbed under a waterfall, but the waterfalls, the rocks are extremely slippery, not only just because water is just rushing over them constantly, but also because they just grow this kind of flora that is just not conducive to, like, maintaining grip. So what happened was one of the individuals slipped and into the pool, basically slipped into the waterfall, and then the other two... And then the other two jumped in after. And so Riker Gamble, Alexi, let's say Laika, and Megan Scraper. And so they jumped in after her to save her. And unfortunately, all three perished. And I it's interesting as idea that their mission was trying to get people to live outside of, like, their immediate opportunities, and so they used their travel blog to really give people an idea of what, I guess, life could be like if you just took a little risk and you broke a little bit of the rules. And I think this is like a lesson. I don't want to say a lesson, you know, because I don't think much comes from like, you know, being like preachy about the idea that, you know, some of these things that you do, that these people are doing, are dangerous, because you don't have to be at Shannon Falls or go to Yellowstone National Park to have something like this happen. We see it happen every year, particularly here in BC, with, you know, these with cliff jumping and all of these other things that people like to do, particularly like to do just for social media or for Instagram, you know, to get likes and views and follows and things like that. Like, people are willing to put their lives at risk. I remember a story last year we talked about where a guy had a book to his chest and wanted to show how, I guess, maybe how tough he was, and his girlfriend shot the book, presumably thinking that they could stop the bullet, and then he killed him just for some views. And so I think that people need to be conscious that, like, this social media obsession is killing people, because it's literally putting your life at risk just for some strangers that you don't know. And strangers who will be sad. Like, there's not only a large community here, like, that actually really know these people in real life, you know, who are feeling, you know, a huge loss, because presumably all three of these people have very large personalities and are willing to give and express themselves. You know, it's their followers, you know, who are sad that their videos won't be popping up on the timeline, and, you know, they'll write rest in peace, but soon those people will forget and they'll move on to some other travel blogger, because those people are, who are following you or following those people, are thrill seeking. Like, they are there for this exploration, and they're going to find someone else. And so, like, don't risk your life for these imaginary, or not imaginary, but for these views and likes. It's not, I just don't see it to be worth it. Like, I can think of the stories we've reported on here, like the young Chinese man who climbed skyscrapers and then fell like 60 stories to his death because he was trying to show one of those videos where he was trying to pull himself up. Like, there's so many instances of these people who are just doing just a little too much. And so, like, if you feel ever felt compelled that you needed to do that for others, for strangers, you should probably just think twice. But also, just need to be mindful, particularly here in British Columbia or wherever you're at and you're hiking and you are just in this natural environment. Just know that there are a risk, and you can't assume that everything will be just straight. So, you know, here in BC, we like to talk, the housing crisis, homelessness, and drugs are really the things that really drive the conversation here, the news conversation. And so a housing crisis has gotten so bad that the you hear every economist say every month, pretty much like clockwork, housing affordability has reached crisis levels. Housing affordability is putting too many people out of reach. And so a new report has come out that says, surprise, surprise, that housing affordability is at crisis levels here in Vancouver, and that the acceleration of the price of homes along with higher interest rates are going to slam the door on ownership once again. And I feel like you don't need a report to know that. You could probably just talk to any of my friends. I feel like I'm in a... even within like this particular network that like I revolve in, which is like people with postgraduate degrees, and even they feel this idea that, you know, never going to be able to own a house here. And so you can like imagine like if someone who, you know, who's got potentially this next level higher earnings, if they don't feel comfortable that they could be able to stay here, then they're going to leave. And so, you know, as Vancouver, you know, attracts more companies like Amazon and these really large companies here on the west coast of Canada, it's going to be hard to staff and find the talent, as we've seen here with like hiring issues, is that there's not enough talent here, and it's because people can't afford to live. It's really something that nobody, I really feel like it's an angle that is not being mentioned, is that the idea that BC is missing out on potentially like thousands of people who would be willing and able to add to not only just the like economy, like tax base wise, but also add to like the culture of the city. I always feel like Vancouver is a place where it just needs more people to be able to like add like a flavor. Like if you ever go to another city, that's like the one thing that Vancouver here is missing, like just a online culture. And I feel like that is because it's really hard to maintain roots here, so people are not willing to put their whole selves in. So like it's gotten so bad that a BC Lion, he Jovan Olafioye, he has offered season tickets to someone who can help him find a house. Like, he has a maximum budget of $3,800, and he's looking for a two-bedroom apartment anywhere near SkyTrain, and he's offering season tickets. Now, I don't know about the Lions because I've never paid to go to a game. Canadian football is just not something that I can get into myself. But if someone is offering season tickets, like when there's reasonable idea that there's rental managers whose job it is, like if he's having such a difficult time finding this. Imagine what someone who's, you know, making $20 an hour or $15 an hour or $25 an hour, imagine how difficult they are, how difficult it is for them to find homes. When we get back, we're going to be talking a little bit about some bears attacks. And you know that I can't, I love talking about these things. However, this one might not take the turn that you are used to off the beaten path taking. So if you're interested, which you should be, stay tuned. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR.
Yeah. It goes like ABC.
All boys cry.
MTV.
Men touch vaginas.
BET.
Bitches eat tacos.
You wanna be seen with me? ABC.
All boys cry.
MTV.
Men touch vaginas.
BET.
Showtime.
Wish he had a remote just to control me. We're supposed to be friends, he was my homie. He was there when I was lonely. Hungry, now he seems phony. But real, if I could show off. Cold shoulder, wipe the snow off. Can't believe I cut my bro off. But I had to cut
it
my bro
like
off.
It goes like ABC, MTV, BET. You wanna be seen with me?
Soldado.
Messed up girl, she's a messed up girl. Oh, oh. In this fucked up world, in this fucked up world.
Messed up girl in a messed up world. She's a messed up girl in a messed up world. Hey, I'm a messed up boy in a messed up world. Ooh. I'm a messed up boy in a messed up world. But I messed up. She's a messed up girl in a messed up world.
Messed up girl in a messed up world.
She's a messed up girl in a messed up world. And she got mixed up. I'm a fucked up boy in a fucked up bed. Fucked up words, so you call me out. She's a messed up girl in a messed up world. It is so fucked up that it's gone. It is so fucked up that it's done. Baby, so fucked up and it's okay. Baby, so fucked up and I'm okay. I'ma lay with you too. We can't do no more, no, we can't do no more. Pass out on the floor, fuck it up, I'm really bored. Didn't think you wanna be with a kid like me. Baby, don't mind this side. She's so dirty minded, I don't really mind it. Loving you is blinding, it's not worth the fighting. She don't really care about a bitch, no, no, no. Getting high with me, she off the shit, no, no, no. I don't think she ready for the kid, no, no. Messed up boy in a messed up worst. I'm a messed up boy in a messed up first. What a mess up. She's a messed up girl in a messed up world.
Messed up girl in a messed up world.
She's a messed up girl in a messed up world. And she got mixed up. I'm a fucked up boy in a fucked up bed. Fucked up words, and you call me out. She's a messed up girl in a messed up world. It is so fucked up that it's gone. I'ma bring it back to life, I'ma bring it back to life. Come on me, I'll be the light. You're my weakness in the darkness. Put that shit in park, I'ma hit it like a target. Time to be a star, I'm wildin' in it. Making my way, I'm just filin' in it. When I'm sitting in, I'm not driving in it. Car so fast, got the cops tryna get it. It's none of your business what the fuck I'm doing in the day. It's none of your business what I'm doing, am I gonna stay?
Stay with you.
You have no respect for me. Don't talk to me unless you got a check for me. I know that I've been living recklessly in this world, but you gotta live desperately.
Messed up
You're back with All Being Bad here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station, with Issa Arian. That is me. And so, you know, if you listen to the show, we like to talk about these, like, animal attacks. I like to talk about these animal attacks and the idea that, for me, there's something beautiful about animals not giving up the fight for, I would say, for their humanity, but really not giving, they're just not giving up the fight for survival. I think that we like to, like, distance ourselves from animals in this idea that, or, you know, like, that we don't react, you know, to pressures that, like, impede on our survival, which is interesting because, you know, July 1st is Canada Day and July 4th is the American Independence Day. And so if you, like, think about those days broadly, they really are celebrations of this resistance, you know, for the survival of for the people, you know. I mean, that's what it's always sold as, but that's what it is. It's the celebration for this idea that you can resist, and if liberated, you can celebrate it every year. And it's something not just you can celebrate, but it should be celebrated. And so when I think about animal attacks, that's how I think about it. Is you know, there's this idea that they're just not going to, they're not going to give up. And when I say give up, I mean give up to, like, how humans not only affect the individual animals, but just mostly, but a lot of times the systems. And so thinking about, like, our world as a system, you tend to see, like, global warming as something that is abstract or something that is just an idea or a theory. And so it's hard for us to quantify that into, like, real life effects. But I feel like the next stories that we're gonna talk about, you see that global warming has a cost. And so while it's indirectly affecting the way that these animals behave, and not only behave, but the relationship to us. Like, if you, you know, the way that politicians that tend to think about global warming, the idea is that it doesn't have a cost. Like, there's no cost to be associated, you know, with, like, the degradation of our environment. But when you see the wildfires that are burning, so I think in California, they have already had wildfires, which have been burning for a few weeks now, covering over, like, 150 acres, already causing hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. Not just damages, but wages. We talked to the story about last year about how they use prison inmates to fight fires as first responders now, and pay them, you know, like, it's like 20 cents an hour or something ridiculous. And if you think about the cost of that, just like the cost of the idea of the labor, because it's not just inmates, but think about the people who, the firefighters who aren't employed because we're giving the jobs to prison inmates out pennies for the dollar, cost of the fire people who, of the fire men and women who are out there fighting fires, not only just fighting fires in their regular, you know, 40-hour a week shift, but on the overtime. If you think about the houses that are burnt down here in BC, you know, not only is there forest fires you have to worry about, but in houses burning down, but you have to worry about there are beetles which emerge from these fire like, seemingly stronger and more powerful than ever. And then not only do you have that, you have, like, there's just so much cost associated with that, which is a direct effect of global warming, these wildfires. But then also we have seen like the effects that it has on animals. So this past week, a man was killed by a polar bear trying to protect his family in the northern part of the Hudson Bay, so on the east coast of Canada. And so the people talk about him, you know, how he died a hero, really protecting his family from the grizzly bear. I mean, from a polar bear. And what they've said is that they've seen more and more bears coming closer and closer to human contact because the bears need to eat. And like bears are going to bear. And so if their habitat becomes destroyed from the effects that global warming has had, like there are real costs to us. So not only is it the like billions of dollars that it's going to, that costs have increased every year to fight wildfires, but then also to protect us from animals. Like this is the third bear encounter in Canada this week, or at least the third bear encounter that has been reported on. Like earlier this week, a black bear snuck up behind a man on in Manterio and bit him. Like the black bear just snuck up behind him and while he was out with his wife and bit him and then ran off. Now we know that black bears are not as dangerous as grizzly bears or polar bears, but still it's still the idea that we are living so close to these animals. And so you know, as their habitat gets further and further destroyed from fires or just droughts or, you know, there's just a lack of food, they're going to become closer and closer into our area and either going to have to learn how to live with them or find another solution. Like in there's an Australian couple who came across a grizzly bear while hiking in Calgary, and they had it all on tape. Now, the good thing is they were clearly prepared for how to deal with the grizzly bear, like having bear spray and not panicking or running, you know, making sure that you are not in between a bear and the cubs, and talking to the bear calmly as you slowly walk away. If you, like, go out on these hikes, if you can tell that BC hikes are not for like the faint of heart, like they're not just like a leisurely stroll. Like you can encounter danger seemingly at every corner, and so you need to be prepared. But going back to the main point, we like to think of there's no hard costs associated to this global warming, but in reality, there is. And so when we see like policies being made like globally that have banned plastic bags, and here in BC that have banned plastic straws and banned styrofoam, and these are just the beginnings to like real changes that you have that we'll have to make, because these issues are not going anywhere. I mean we like to hope that the wildfires are just not going to continue to rage like every summer in perpetuity forever and ever, but they are getting worse every single year. And so if there is a way to like reverse the effects of global warming or try to slow down the effects, we should be trying, because they do have real costs, and they could cost people their lives. When we get back, we're going to talk about one of my fears with this upcoming marijuana legalization, and hear about some news from down south. But for now, got some things for you.
Translation? Disquarter Magazine's March issue is coming in like a lion, but it's not going out like a lamb. The issue is hitting the streets at its over 100 distribution spots, made possible by our fearless advertisers, The Rickshaw, Mint Records, Timber Concerts, Blueprint Events, The Rio Theater, The Cinematech Theater, Massey Books, and the Alma Mater Society. If you prowl around Van, you'll be able to read up on Man Up Vancouver, its wild success and 10-year anniversary celebration, an interview with Shindig's majestic winner Mama Rude Gal, How the Poetry is Bad for You reading series captures your soul, a poem submission by cherished Cream AT writer Samantha Nock, and, of course, a full harvest of album, podcast, and book reviews and live show reviews of local bands. Translation, forever local, forever free, always salty.
Gotta pop on like no one else, and I kept my cool. See, we can go to Kumasi, just me and you. And don't you stress about flaws, baby, just gotta embrace them. I'm just tryna stress you out, love. I don't wanna be that nasty dude. I gotta be that classic dude. I don't wanna be that nigga go ahead and go slap a dude. I don't really wanna wreck the mood. I'm just really tryna set the mood. She like, hey, hey. You run around like you the man and you know. You come around, you don't do a thing, you a phony. I told that bitch, do not play that shit, I'm grown. I told that bitch, try to be rich yourself,
to be honest. So the girls are, so much dresses, so it's all out. And you impressive, got my thoughts wild. But I'm already taking, got a girl now. And she's so fuego.
I did eventually drove you crazy. No lie, you were number one, my lady. You was way back even before the Navy Mercedes. The boy that ran around suddenly got wavy. See, I'm going on a world tour. And if it's loyalty that you ask me, girl, that shit I'm here for. Let's catch flights, let's kill time. We can see places around the world. There ain't no pimping around my girl. Shit, shit. Cause honesty and trust, this is what I call rich. And now we on. Flies one in the room and shit, you know it. I ain't tryna be the one to steal your moment. The feeling I get inside is so euphoric. I'm out here for it. My heart, you own it, yeah. But I told that bitch and I play that shit, I'm grown. I told that bitch I'll be rich as fuck.
So that's shining, so the girls out. So my dress is so it's all out. And you impressive, got my thoughts wild. Got a girl now, and she's so fuego.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Now, when we discussed marijuana legalization here in Canada, if you hadn't heard, it will be federally legal in October here in Canada to, like, smoke or grow your own weed, and then they will sell it in stores depending on which province you live in. They'll have their own particular rules, but basically, just across the board, it will be legal and regulated. And so what that means is there's going to be some negative externalities where you never thought that they might be. And so one of these things had been brought to my attention weeks ago was this idea for smoking fines in public. Now, you know, smoking fines in public. And so I never thought about how, you know, now it's illegal, but it's like basically decriminalized, so there's no fine for smoking it in public because there's technically no law against doing it because it's illegal. However, it's not illegal. It's just in this gray area where you didn't have to worry about it. But now the Saskatoon government has established these fines and with these rules and regulations, which will be very important for you to know, for the three people who live in Saskatoon or Saskatchewan. There's a $200 fine for smoking in public or in a campground, which I think is crazy because it's the same fine for having more than 30 grams of weed in a public place. Now, I don't know why you'd be carrying an ounce of weed in a public place, but there's a $200 fine for that as well. There's a $300 fine if you are a minor caught buying, using, or sharing pot. And it's the same amount if you're caught smoking in a vehicle. So if you're trying to hotbox the whip, $300 fine. I think it's interesting to give a $300 fine to a minor caught buying or using or sharing weed, because that $300 fine is essentially just a $300 fine to their parents. And I don't know about you guys, but my mom, I already feel like there's enough punishment for me, for myself. If I had gotten caught smoking weed like when I was younger, that my mom would have punished me enough. Like, I don't need the government to throw another $300 fine, presumably that my mom is going to have to pay, on top of that. Because the only thing worse that I could imagine, only thing worse in high school than getting caught, smoking weed or skipping school would have been smoking weed or skipping school and then costing my mom $300. I'm on the teen side. I feel like I don't know if that's the teen or the parent side, but I think it'd be best for them to just, maybe administer that fine on a case by case basis. If the parent is caught giving weed, because I could only imagine my mom having to pay for my mishaps. So there's a $750 fine for anyone caught selling or giving cannabis to a minor, which I feel like that's fair. There will be new positions in the government as a branch director, manager, and four cannabis inspectors, four license specialists, a policy analyst, a financial analyst. These things have gone on the Saskatchewan government website. So if you would like to be the fourth member of the Saskatchewan province, then you should look into that. And if you are American, listen to the show, and you're trying to find a way to maybe escape, you should be welcome to come up. It's very interesting to me because I play a lot of Civilization. And so I feel like, I have this extensive knowledge of this international, diplomatic relations. One thing you can do on there is you can send envoys. And you send envoys so that people have, you can build these relationships with other characters. And so in real life, guess what? These things really exist. The U.S. ambassador to Canada has a July 4th party, which I think is really interesting. Instead of just going home for July 4th, they have a July 4th party in Canada. The guest list was trimmed down from 4,000 people when Obama was president to less than 1,000 people. This is due to the increased strain on the relations. I don't know if you've heard, but the United States is battling for trade power, not only with its largest trade partner, Canada, but also its next largest trade partner, which is China. And so we are, if you haven't heard, like there's been increased tax on tariffs on aluminum, increased tax tariffs on beef, on whiskey, which is interesting because beef and whiskey are really hurting places where, you know, that's Trump's base. However, it's not having is having very little effect on what is actually going on, how they actually feel about the president, which it's so it'd be interesting how long they last. However, due to these strained relationships and just some of the outright racist things that you know, his people have said, the yearly party has shrunk in size, with even some very high-level Canadian government officials declining the invite to the party. I feel like that we are at a low point in this. When I say a low point, I mean a low point since the Canadians burnt down the White House. But like, I feel like that was probably the low point. But since then, you know, the relationship has been pretty solid. But it'll be interesting to see, like, how long this lasts and how long this continues to move forward, because we'd like to hope that it can't last forever. And I am especially, pretty selfishly, I might add, hoping that it settles down soon. Because the Canadian dollar to the U.S. dollar has been skyrocketing, not in my favor. Let's just say if you're one of my friends and you have been thinking about visiting Canada, right now, for every one American dollar, you get 1.37 Canadian dollars. So this would be a really good time for you to come visit, because you'll be paying for my drinks and we'll be better friends because of it. Now, if you hadn't heard of the story that really has been, like I said, there's been a few, I mean, it's the World Cup, so you think that the World Cup would probably be the most important soccer story around. However, it's not. Just for like over a week in northern Thailand, there's 12 boys and their soccer coach have been stuck in a cave. And they've been stuck in a cave. Like, I don't really think there's anything more than that. And so if you have watched, they've been really trying to work on ways on how to get them out, you know, as they expect the rain to really flood the area. The issue is that the boys can't swim. Now, I have been really trying to find out how they got into the cave in the first place. But that information seems to be pretty hard, as it's everything's really focused on trying to get them out. So I'm very interested in the story, because there's also another, there was a hiker, a Canadian hiker, who was stuck in a cave in Mexico. And so I feel that, like, these stories, you know, all over the world, about how these people are battling with nature, I feel like this is something to not to ignore, that we are finding different ways to struggle with this. And so there's really nothing to say about it. Just I hope that these boys are able to get out. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about how legislation has been, I guess, what would you say? Legislation has been introduced? Yeah, introduced to make lynching a hate crime. And you're probably wondering about how it wasn't a hate crime before. But also have some interesting facts about July 5th, which is today. Let me get back.
I text her an eggplant emoji. Yeah. I pull up my phone, now we rolling. Yeah. I turn the street into V-Live. Let's go. Yeah. Jump off of the board and I deep dive. Yeah. Yeah. She do a split on my banana. She wanna let me hit that Bunani. I just rate her, I have a baby with a model. I stop at the 7-Eleven for condoms.
Licking my finger like I got to eat in Doritos. Yeah. I put a shot in your thought and I reload the needle. Hey, she gets so wet that I call her phone number like FEMA. Coke on the nail, coke on the scale like a Libra.
I snatched away the king's daughter. She did her nails in my back and I made her sing louder. I feel like Wolverine when I rip off them jeans I bought her. Ooh, yeah.
I text her an Eggman emoji. Yeah. I pull up my phone, I be rolling. Yeah.
I turn the street into V-Live. Let's go. Yeah. Jump off of the board and I deep dive. Yeah.
I want you to please me. Ay, that bitch that don't tease me. She said she gon' work it, work it, work it like she re. She think she a boss, so she act like she don't need me. I still made a sucker, so the dick until it. Ay, I can be the teacher. I really need a preacher. I'm about to hit it phone and tell her, pray for the Monifa. Ay, shawty name Onisha, said she riding, can I meet her? Her nigga know she cheating, but I think he on the feature. My diamonds, they on blinker, could keep louder than a speaker. I keep two iPhone, one for Bennett, one for Gabe. Brand new money, bitch, I got it out the street. Bum nigga on the features, tell his daddy say please.
I text her an Eggman emoji, yeah. I pull up my phone, now we rolling, yeah.
I turn the street into V-Live, let's go, yeah. Jump off of the board and I deep dive, yeah, yeah.
Text her an Eggman emoji, yeah. I pull up my phone, now we rolling, yeah.
I turn the street into V-Live, let's go, yeah. Jump off of the board and I deep dive, yeah.
Back at all the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. Now, if you, I say if you probably didn't know this because I didn't know it, and I feel like, not that I'm saying that I know more about everything, but I feel like when it comes to like Civil War, you know, post Civil War information, I feel like I'm pretty knowledgeable. But however, yesterday I was introduced to some new information where I didn't know from 1865, from 1875. It's like the 4th of July was... The 4th of July was a pretty much exclusively a black celebrated holiday in the South. It famously, Frederick Douglass gives the speech, says, what is 4th of July to explaining how, what is 4th of July to like a black person living in America? Like, it's your celebration. It's not mine. However, you know, that's something that I understood to be the general sentiment of all people during that era, you know, pre Civil War and post Civil War. You know, is that black people in general never felt that this was something for them to be for them to celebrate. However, after the Civil War and after the embarrassing defeat that the Confederates suffered, blacks in the South rejoiced, like in Charleston, South Carolina, where the majority of the slaves were, I would say majority of the humans were held, the people were held as slaves. They would hold such big parties, like big enough parties that they would be in the paper for a decade. Really, it's kind of like celebrating after a touchdown, you know, but for 10 years and every day. And so it wasn't until 1875 where I guess there was some type of reconciliation between white Southerners and white Northerners, and it was at that time where the white Southerners began to take the joyous celebration almost from from the black population. They would move the celebrations further and further and further out. They would institute laws against making noise after certain, playing certain types of music and certain types of songs. And then eventually those celebrations just like kind of ceased to exist. And we begin to have like the more universal narrative where, people feel that the 4th of July, it really isn't a celebration for them in that way. And it's interesting because talking to some of my friends, particularly in D.C., D.C. is like, no, D.C. is like illegal for fireworks, and you think it's the nation's capital. But on the July 4th, it is legal to have fireworks. And so what you used to hear is just the fireworks literally going off all through the night, we like to cook out and light fireworks and have a celebration on the 4th. Like, that is the most patriotic thing you can do. However, with gentrification and this idea of these foreigners moving into D.C., into the neighborhoods, they have not only instituted more these social norms where it's not really there's this lack of community and cohesion and feeling amongst, like, neighborly feelings amongst the neighbors, but also, like, really instituted, like, legislation so that, and really trying to push these, like, zoning noise laws and calling the police to enforce them. And this is something that's new. Not only is it new, but it's taking away the celebration of and the way that blacks have historically celebrated the July 4th in D.C. And so I really, yesterday while I was, reading about this and understanding like, what that looked like in 1865 and what that celebration looked like and meant to people back then. And really, I really like to draw parallels from our history to, like, what's really going on now. And so when you think about the idea of what gentrification looks like, particularly in my hometown, where they've moved the Caribbean Festival from Georgia Avenue to Baltimore, and they've moved the in Georgia Avenue in D.C. to Baltimore, and they've moved the 4th of July celebrations. They've limited the fireworks and the noise and what actually that feels like in D.C. and D.C. has this historically majority black population. And so as these gentrifiers and these, like, new age colonizers come into the city and really change what the city looks like, it's very interesting for me because not only does it feel like very parallel to this heavy policing of behavior and ideals and which prevail and says, like, how we act is the way you're supposed to act. But it's also, it also can be, like, very violent for the people who, who are lived there. We've seen that this, like, rise in this, I don't know if it's a rise or if it's just becoming more highlighted because we're more sensitive and we're looking out for it. But people calling the police on people who live in the neighborhood, like, there's a woman in Oregon who is running for council, and she was, like, she's like a 50 something year old woman running for city council, and as she walks from house to house, like, through her constituency, someone called the police and says that she's casing the house. Now, it's not only is it crazy to just believe that anyone who's walking house to house is casing the house, because we know that door-to-door salesmen do exist. Like, they still exist, and that's like a thing, and that's like a part of, like, this American bootstrap culture. But the idea that just being black, and even being an elderly black, and I would say an elderly, but an older black woman won't save you from having the police called on you. As like a non-threatening, because when your skin is black, you are always a threat. And so this idea that black people are a threat to these communities that they have always been entrenched in by these new people who are coming in and changing. It just goes makes you think a little bit about what the July 4th meant to people all over and throughout time, and how the way that they're able to celebrate it can be transformed by external forces. But thank you for being with us for the hour. You can tune in every Thursday, 7 to 8, if you like my voice and you like the music. You can tune in on Tuesdays to Crimes and Treasons from 8 to 10 here on 101.9 CITR.ca. You can tune in on crimesandtreasons.com. You can find you can find last week's episode on there. It was a great one. You can find these episodes on mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath or facebook.com/offthebeatenpath/OTBP20XX. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you guys have a great weekend, and I'll see you or hear you in 2 weeks.
Kick us out the country like we window shopping, 'cause the people around here